to another exciting podcast. We are the Thought Police. I'm Mike Graham. You are?
Diane Abbott.
Well, listen, I'm not going to let you speak because obviously that would be too controversial. So just fucking sit down. Yeah. Stop fucking complaining.
No, I'm not actually Diane Abbott, thank fucking God. I am Kevin O'Sullivan.
Yeah, thank God for that, because I wouldn't want to do a podcast with fucking Diane Abbott. That was fucking torture. But I'll tell you what, in breaking political news, do you know how Grant Shapps has been having a go at the Russians?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently he's been accusing Vladimir Putin of saber-rattling. Well, right. There's a story just breaking, even as we speak, as we're recording this, that apparently he was off on some NATO exercise just today, yeah, flying back from Poland, and the Russians jammed the fucking radar on his plane.
Teach him, wasn't it?
What a prick.
Do you know, that guy's
Grant Shapps is a walking fucking disaster.
That's exactly what I was going to do. Walking disaster. So he goes on a NATO test. We're going to test this Trident nuclear.
Yeah, right.
He flies all the way to Florida, then he's sailed off the coast to where HMS Vanguard, the flagship of our submarine fleet, is waiting to do this test launch of our nuclear missile Trident, and he's standing on the deck, and it goes like about 1 yard. It just plops into the sea. Maybe he's just one of those fucking people. You know, anywhere he goes, shit happens.
Well, don't forget, this is the same guy who, when he was Transport Minister or Secretary of State for Transport, was in fucking Spain on holiday when the lockdown was announced.
He wasn't
supposed to be able to fucking fly back, the stupid twat. Here's what they say. The GPS signal on the plane, which was a Dassault 900 LX Falcon jet, was interfered with for about 30 minutes. Mobile phones could no longer connect to the internet, and the aircraft was forced to use alternative methods outside of its radar to determine its location. It says, the Defence Secretary was assured that the electronic attack did not threaten the aircraft's safety. This is Putin just going, fuck you, mate. I can fuck with you anytime I want.
You fuck with me and I'll fuck with you. Grant Shapps, fuck me.
I mean, wouldn't be drinking any cups of tea anytime soon if I was him.
How many fucking jobs has he had now?
He's now been minister for pretty much everything.
I mean, all these cunts in this fucking Tory cabinet.
How are they even still in charge of anything?
So, you know, we're recording this on the day that Michael Gove redefined extremism.
Yeah.
What a pile of shit.
I wish he'd redefined fucking conservatism.
But literally, I was announcing that on the telly today, and I said, they're the secretary. What the hell is Michael Gove the secretary of at the moment?
Levelling up and housing, apparently.
Communities.
Oh, communities.
But I mean, he's been fucking secretary of fucking everything.
Yeah.
So has Grant Shapps. Yeah. You'd think these people were remotely talented.
Well, so is Cleverly. Not so Cleverly. I mean, he's been fucking Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary. He's been, was he not in fucking Development Secretary or something like that? I don't fucking know. But they've all had too many jobs, and it's time they're all out of a fucking job.
You're right. I mean, and I think Gove, he's overrated, to put it that way, to say the fucking least. Everybody goes, oh, he's so clever, he's one of the geniuses of the cabinet.
Yeah.
What has he ever done? What has he ever achieved?
Well, a lot of people say everything he's touched has always been fucked up.
He's
Secretary of State for Housing. We're not building any fucking houses. So when he was Secretary of State for Education, he fucked up the curriculum to such an extent that the fucking teachers didn't know what they were doing. And that doesn't fucking take much, I know, but still. You know, a lot of people think he messed up the fucking levelling up department. Yeah. I mean, and he brings in all these really weird fucking rules all the time whenever he goes anywhere. He's the guy who wants to ban fucking wood-burning stoves.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Fuck yourself.
I've still got mine. I'm still going to keep fucking burning it until the day I die.
I'm going to see if I can find some more damaging material to burn to fuck up the environment. Because you know my campaign to decrease awareness of the
climate. To increase the carbon footprint.
I'm campaigning to decrease awareness about the fucking alleged climate change crisis.
Right. No, that would be fucking brilliant because I think burning shit is definitely the fucking
burning
way
shit,
forward.
Burning shit, yeah.
It's definitely the way forward. But anyway, I suppose we should talk about our trip to Twickenham last weekend, which was another drunken success. We had a great time. I actually was amazed at the result because it was one of the greatest games of all time. People were like, can't believe you were at that game. It was one of the greatest games of rugby ever.
It fucking was.
And it really was. But I have to say, by the time we got to the final whistle, I was quite well oiled. And so, you know, I was sort of leaning forward, watching it going, fucking hell, they're going to win. They're going to fucking win. Because, in fact, the drop goal that they scored wasn't even necessary. It was a penalty.
They
would have had 3 points for anyway.
Right in front of the
post. People were saying that guy that took the drop goal, Matt Smith,
Matt Smith,
was fucking glory hunting because he didn't need to do it. Marcus Smith. I like him, though. I'm glad he did it.
Yeah. I mean, and the one drawback with the English game was that we could have won that game easily, but we missed four fucking kicks.
So I don't want to have a fucking conversation about the fucking match. I want to have a conversation about how you pissed off the guy at the table so much.
Well, look, every year...
Our good mate, friend.
Let's explain this. Every year, our good friend Richard Tice...
Yeah.
The leader of Reform UK, former Talk TV presenter and all that.
I'm surprised he hasn't asked us to stand as candidates, by the way.
I'm not. So, he very kindly, he's got this sort of supersonic membership of Twickenham.
Yeah.
And he takes us to one of the big England internationals at Twickenham every year. And what he does is, we go in this executive dining room, which is terrific, loads of red wine, Guinness. You go there
for
white wine, anything you want to drink, basically. You go there before the match for a good slap-up lunch, yeah. Lots of drink. Then at half-time, you go back in there and you get, like, cheese and more wine.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you go back in there for more Guinness, red wine and meat pies and God knows what. So,
and also veggie pies, don't you?
Veggie pies, yeah. Which
because I fucking ate one by mistake and went, oh, this is shit. And then I realised I'd eaten the wrong one.
I had a meat pie steak.
Well, because that's not that easy to tell.
It's pretty good, I've got to say. Yeah. Anyway.
I thought you weren't supposed to admit that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not admitting it. If you're listening, Henrietta, I just lied.
Absolute rubbish, yeah.
Lies! No, I didn't. To cut a long story short, every year we get famously fucking pissed.
Yeah.
But Richard's a good drinker. You and I are, of course, seasoned professionals when it comes to shipping alcohol. But he always brings one mate with him.
He does.
Different one every year. And I think my theory is that these people, they're not used to journalists or politicians. No.
Do you think it's some kind of test for them?
Well, they always get like absolutely fucking rat-ass.
Yeah.
Now, 2 years in a row, you've managed to piss off.
No, actually, last year was all right because he brought Ben Habib.
Oh, yeah.
Ben was fine.
The year before that, you beat the guy up.
Well, I had to just restrain him. I mean, you know, he was trying to fucking kill me, after all. You know.
Yeah, so you beat that sort of had a fight with that guy. This year, there was this guy called JP.
Right. Some kind of property character.
It was after the fucking match.
Right.
So we just had that amazing.
But he
conclusion.
Started to get a bit leery though before the game as well, because he started to get a bit pissed. He started to argue with
everything, If you said it was a nice day, he said, no, it's not.
Right.
You know, anyway, after the game, we go back for those pies and more wine and that. And their tactics, I can't believe it, they're about the kicks. I said, what do you mean? Well, if you think about it, we've just won.
Yeah.
So arguably...
And he was saying they didn't deserve to win. And at one point, I thought it was all going quite well. But then suddenly, I looked across because I heard this fucking noise and it was like this. You were smashing your fist on the table, right? Going, what's wrong with you? I don't understand why you don't want England to win.
Yeah, what is wrong with you? We just fucking won.
And at some point or other, he just got up and walked off.
Yeah. I've had enough of this and stormed up. And we never saw him again.
Because he'd already stopped talking to me. And I was sitting next to him. So he sought solace with you, thinking at least he'd get some sense out of you. And then he got even more pissed off. So very funny. So when we ended up leaving to go back in the old chariot back to London, he was nowhere to be seen.
We never saw him again.
I've no idea if he even made it home.
But, you know, I was speaking to Tice in the...
He was also pissed off. He said he was moving to Portugal. And I just kept winding him up about that. Because he was like, Britain's such a shithole that I'm moving to Portugal. And I'm like, how's it any better in fucking Portugal?
Anyway,
he was very entertaining.
Tice is very amused by
it. He loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he thinks it's funny. the tradition of pissing off his friends every year at the
rugby. Absolutely. I wonder if it's some kind of test to see whether these people could actually hack it with the big boys.
You know that when you go on a session like that,
yeah.
I mean, it was a real pro session, and we went back.
We fucking stopped at the pub on the way home.
We went to the Moorpath Arms in Victoria.
Very nice pub, that.
Yeah. Used to be our local when I worked on Today newspaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was in Pimlico, wasn't it? Around the corner.
So we have a few more.
I've forgotten you worked on Today.
Yeah. So I'm trying to forget I did. Anyway, you left slightly early. You got yourself a car and then I sat there.
Well, do you know what happens with me, right? I get to a point now where I'm thinking, I literally can't drink anymore, which means I've had a fucking skinful.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took me literally all of the next day to recover. I don't think I got out of bed. I got up at one point to make some food. and then felt even worse and went back to bed. I don't think I got up till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I got home.
And I didn't drink that night.
I went fairly shortly after you went, but I think I got another glass of red wine down me. Got on an Uber. Poor bloke in the Uber. I must have
I had a row with my guy because I ordered an Uber and he said he'd arrive and I walked out. That was why I walked out. And he was nowhere to be fucking seen. And I'm standing there. And sometimes you get a number, sometimes you don't. So I thought, fuck this. And eventually, I thought, I'll try and call him. And I called him and I'm like, where the fuck are you? He's like, I'm here. I'm like, no, you're not. I can't fucking see you. So we had a row. I said, you better fucking cancel it. He's like, well, you have to cancel. I'm like, I'm not fucking cancelling it. You fucking cancel it. And just as I did that, I saw a black cab, which I hailed, and I just got in that. And then I think they charged me £20 for fucking Uber for cancelling it. But he parked somewhere the fuck else. He wasn't out
there.
They
can do that. But when I got home, my wife's sitting there. We were supposed to have met an hour earlier to go for dinner.
Dinner, you're joking.
It really happened.
No.
I said, she should
know better.
I said to her, I'm sorry, I'm a bit late. We should have gone for dinner. I'm sorry about that. She said, thank Christ, look at the fucking state of you. She said, you can hardly speak. She was right.
Yeah.
I literally lost the
Well, she shouldn't be mad. I mean, it was a late kickoff, though. So the thing is, we had a good run at it before. It was like 4:45, the kickoff.
Oh, God,
it?
Yeah.
So we were there for a good 3 hours before fucking.
Fucking great day.
It was a great day out, though, and a fantastic result. Let's talk about the Royals, because, I mean, that's been the big story of the week. Today, it's Thursday, is the day we celebrate the Princess of Wales, Diana, Princess of Wales' legacy. And the family are celebrating it by not fucking talking to each other and turning up at separate ends of the day. So William goes in first. When he fucks off, the other one turns up.
William's going to do his bit of the service.
Right.
He's then going to fuck off.
Yeah.
And then Harry will beam in his contribution by Zoom from fucking Montecito.
Right.
So the point is, those brothers...
It's not much of a legacy,
they won't even be in the same room if one of them's on Zoom.
Exactly. That's how fucking bad it is.
They fucking hate each other's guts. And let's talk about that fucking photograph.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, they go, so
leave her alone.
Fucking leave her alone. Fucking pay for her.
Also, it's completely mad. How can you not talk about it? The idea that people are going, oh, fucking leave her alone. It's just a picture. She just made a mistake. She's fucking going to be the queen of the kingdom.
As I said to someone on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, look, you want to leave her alone? I said, I will leave her and William and the whole family alone as soon as they agree not to be funded by me and all the other British citizens. We pay for them, got a fucking right to know about them.
Yes.
Not, I don't mean every single detail of their life, but we got a right to know. And she fucked that photo up, allegedly.
Yeah.
And we go, well, you can...
Well, she's admitted doing it. I don't know whether she
did
it.
I don't think she did.
No. What do you think?
I don't believe...
So what do you think?
So look, it would be the easiest thing in the world to say, okay, look, here's the original.
Yeah.
And, people go, oh, well, no wonder she tried to edit it. Why did they not release the original before she edited it? Because I don't believe it exists.
Right.
I think that picture is a composite.
You think it's an amalgam.
A composite. And if you look at it closely, apart from all the other anomalies, there are at least 12.
Yeah.
And they're quite clear. You know, the zip doesn't match up.
Yeah.
Her hair disappears.
The only thing I would say about that, though, is that kids change very, very quickly when they're that age, because I can look at pictures of my own kids from, like, say, 4 or 5 years ago, and they look completely different, right? So the kids have to be up to date. So if the picture wasn't taken, last week, it must have been taken with them in it sometime recently.
Okay, right? Fair enough. But, certainly those unseasonal trees in the background are very suspicious.
Yeah.
So I think it was a composite. And if you look closely at it, this is what makes me suspicious. I think Kate is out of proportion with the kids. There's something kind of weirdly small about her. Anyway, so Piers Morgan led the charge on this. He says, look, we can sort this out. Show us the original. Yeah. It's no big deal.
Right.
We'll understand why you edited it. Oh, we're not doing that.
The other
way, because it doesn't fucking exist.
The other way they could have got around it is to put her out on fucking Twitter or X with a little video explaining what happened.
Yeah.
Because then you'd see her. You could even have her holding up a copy of the fucking Today's newspaper like they do with hostages so that you prove that actually there she is, right? But I just find it amazing that they've made such a massive fuck-up.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I find astonishing. I don't really care about all the conspiracy theories. I think they're all nutty and people on Twitter and...
I think the one about online. The marriage being in trouble might not be a conspiracy
theory. Well, I don't know about that. But my point is I care less about that than I do about... the kind of idiocy of what actually happened and the fact that they allowed it to happen.
Yeah, no, no, the amateurism at Kensington Palace is off the fucking scale.
Exactly.
You know, what are they doing? First of all, these fucking idiots, William and Kate, you know, we're going to take the pictures. Well, from now on, don't do that. Get a professional in. And all royal photographs, all official photographs have always been edited. Then you get a professional to edit it, and that'll be cool. So don't take your own pictures anymore. And if you did edit them, don't fucking do that. But the whole idea is so weird that somehow or other, you know, Kate, you know, as she's recovering, we're told, from serious abdominal surgery, you know, is spending hours making 12 changes to this photograph. It's kind of fucking weird.
It is.
I'm not buying it.
Well, she's obviously got very little to do, hasn't she? Well, whatever it is.
I think it's more than that. I don't think the picture is... I mean, the trouble is,
it's just all a very odd situation. And I think it's quite right that we fucking investigate and ask questions about what the fuck is going on. And we don't just say, oh, it's all right, she made a mistake, leave her alone. No, because there's obviously going to be more to the fucking story.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Robert Jobson just last night and I said, you know, let's go back in history and remember all the other fucking lies that we've been told by the royal family at various different points. All the various royal blunders, fuck-ups, recordings, squidgy gate, fucking all that shit. You know, the sort of thing that Diana used to leak out to papers and then deny. You know, they're always up to fucking something, and it's up to us to fucking expose it.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I mean, I know a lot of people, they like to touch their forelocks about the royals and say, leave the royals alone. They're wonderful. I've never looked up to them. They're just a fucking family.
Yeah.
But I find them very interesting, and a lot of people really admire them just because...
Well, they're great copy, as we used to say in the newspaper business.
They're a great story, and I personally find them interesting. But I don't buy into all this, oh, you've got to look up to them. Why the fuck should I?
Bollocks to that.
Anyway, we all got all like, isn't it marvellous that the king is now being so transparent and honest that he's revealed to his grateful subject that he's got cancer. What type of fucking cancer?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, how about not quite as ribald as that, but how about... they're telling you something because they don't want to tell you something else.
Yeah, well, they don't tell us what... Well, that's exactly
that's what they're doing.
That's exactly
it. You know, that's what you do if you're in fucking trouble and you get some fucking crisis PR cunt to come in and help you out. They go, oh, yeah. Do you remember they used to do it? It's what fucking old... what's-his-face used to do? Yeah. Max Clifford.
Yeah.
You know, he would come to newspapers with stories in order to kill off another story. He'd go, well, that one about, you know, that guy that you've got fucking shagging, young girls who are underage. You don't want to publish that. You have this one instead.
Yeah. Right? And by the way, could you give me 50,000 for it as well?
It was absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, just stop for a minute because we've got to take a message from our good friends at Babbel, who are one of our new sponsors here on the Thought Police. Hey, Kevin, do you remember how you were telling me the other week about how you managed to learn Russian when you were at school? Well, we've got a great opportunity for everybody who listens to the Thought Police, and we've got a great offer for them from a company called Babbel. And it's all about learning a new foreign language. I mean, I'll tell you what, you and I talk about how this country is going to the dogs every single week. More and more people are actually leaving the country to go and live in places like Europe, France, Italy, Belgium, Spain, going to South America, Colombia, going to America, going to, Southeast Asia, maybe Thailand. And this is your opportunity, if you want to actually learn to speak the language of wherever it is you're going. Or you might just want to learn to speak the language of wherever you're going on holiday. You know, because it's all very well going, dos cervezas, por favor, when you go to Spain for a game of golf. But actually, it's a lot better if you can speak more of the language. Now, your worldview might have expanded. You might just want to learn the language of another country just for the hell of it. You might want to go ahead and do it with one of your kids. You might want to just go, you know what? This year in the summer, we're just going to learn how to speak French. The problem is you haven't got time for language learning because it's a bit pricey and it's a bit time consuming. But here's what Babbel does for yourself. They will teach you how to speak another language, and it won't actually take up all of your time and all of your day. Language learning is made for the real world with Babbel. All you've got to do is start up and engage in real-life dialogues. Because what they'll do is they'll have lessons complemented by cultural insights. They'll make it interesting when they teach you a new language. And you can choose from 14 different ones, which include Spanish, French, Italian, and German. And basically, it's really, really easy. It's like a personal language coach. You do it whenever you want to, but you can do it as little as 10 minutes a day or as much as 1 hour a day. You'll receive personalized learning content based on your individual skill level and the goals that you want to reach. The teaching method as well that Babbel uses has been proven to be effective across all sorts of multiple studies, right? You can get it as an app or you can get it online. And what it basically enables you to do is learn a new language within the Babbel ecosystem. You can choose between podcasts, you can choose between games, lessons, and so much more. And it's really, really easy. I've got to tell you, Kev, I'm really excited about this. It's one of the few things that we have actually sold on to people who listen to this podcast that is very, very useful indeed. Okay, so here's what you do. You basically can get Babbel with an amazing offer for 6 months free. All you got to do is purchase a 6 month subscription and use the promo code, our exclusive promo code here at the Thought Police. It is police. So here's what you do. You go to babbel.com/play. Use the promo code police for an extra 6 months free. And it's Babbel. That's babbel.com/play. And use the promo code police. And it's your guaranteed path towards speaking a new language. And what you do is you buy a 6 month subscription and you get another 6 months for free. How could that not be brilliant? Comment allez-vous? Avez-vous une tasse de thé? I'm Mike Graham. He's Kevin O'Sullivan. We're the Thought Police. Learn a new language. You can't go wrong. So anyway, that's enough about the fucking royals. What about the fucking state of the country? You know, by the way, where we've got, I mean, you mentioned Diane Abbott. I don't really care about that story either. I don't really care about Lee Anderson. But what I do care about is the fact that these fucking Tories are still sitting there pretending to run the country when they blatantly, clearly haven't got a fucking clue. They're now going to pay people to go to Rwanda, 3,000 quid, which is the latest fucking stupid idea. They've, as you say, Gove is now going to start telling people they're extremists and they're going to get fucking arrested. Yeah. Nobody knows why. You know, it's a fucking absolute crap show. And even now, I think they've got till next week, haven't they, to call an election. There's still some suggestion that that will happen. There might be an election.
And if they do call the election, it'll be because they've all gone collectively, you know what, fuck this.
Yeah, fuck it.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, maybe they're all just waiting to get a better fucking offer.
By the way, going back to Michael Gove's definition of extremism.
Yes.
I don't really care about most of the rest of it. But he made the point of saying that this doesn't apply to trans groups. Well, trans groups can be extremists,
they can.
Don't they?
Well, they can
but
if they start threatening
people.
But
he says it doesn't apply to them.
Well, surely it applies to them if they start threatening people.
No, he makes the point of saying this.
Although these are groups he's talking about, I suppose that doesn't mean that certain individuals couldn't be classified as extreme. But I'm a bit worried about this whole thing anyway, because there are people in this world, for example, who think we're extreme. Right? Now, what if we get reported to the police? I mean, for all we know, we have been reported to the police and the police haven't told us. But, you know, there are certainly fucking people out there who would like to see us locked up because of our extreme right-wing views, right? Yeah. Not that we have those.
As a right of centre.
In the same way that I would call some of those FBPE nutters, you know, on Twitter fucking extreme as well. Some extreme lefties, you know, I would call them fucking extreme. But, you know, I don't want to have the government telling us that you're not allowed to say this and you're not allowed to say that, and pretty soon we're going to start getting fucking arrested for it.
Yeah, so we have, you know, Peter Blexley, the former Met police.
Yes.
One of the good guys. And him on our show today. I said, so the new definition of extremism from the government by Michael Gove, you know, we've seen the police standing by watching extremists break the law in those hate pro-Palestinian marches. What difference will this make? You said, I'm happy to confirm. You know the way he's got a very brilliantly articulate London voice. I'm happy to confirm that Michael Gove's new definition of extremism will make no difference whatsoever.
That's because they keep making up laws to cover laws that they've already got. Well, there's already a fucking law against hate speech, isn't there? Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, after old George Galloway got voted in at Rochdale, you remember Rishi on that Friday night?
Yes.
By the way, on the night of another one of our famous piss-ups.
Yes.
He did that speech in Downing Street about extremism.
It's been a hard fucking month, isn't it?
Yeah, it fucking has. My poor liver.
Yeah. Anyway, I was supposed to be trying to drink less this month.
Happy fucking day. Anyway, so he makes that speech. Right. Then you got Michael Gove today. So a lot of people are speculating that the Tories are building up to an election campaign that will be based on we'll keep this country safe from extremists and terrorists. And Labour won't.
Right.
Well, good luck with that. But
yeah.
I don't think there will be a May election. This will be me being wrong, no doubt. I think it'll be October.
I have literally no fucking idea.
I mean,
the only reason I'm saying that there's a lot more talk about it at the moment is that because of what happened with Lee Anderson, there's a lot of people apparently inside the Tory party and inside the cabinet in the room with Rishi Sunak saying to him, we fucking told you not to suspend the guy. You shouldn't have fucking done it. Now that you've done it, you've created an entire fucking second front. There are now several MPs' constituencies where Reform are going to stand, where the Tories are going to get fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're basically saying to him, you better fucking call an election before that all gets put into place. Because if you call an election quickly enough,
yes.
Reform are not organised.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the logic, I think.
Yeah, because our mate Richard Tice is saying that as many as 10, maybe 15 Tory MPs are considering.
They've definitely, well, they've also got a shot, I would say.
I don't think they will.
Well, I suspect they won't, but what I'm saying is the longer it goes on,
they might, if they
the longer it goes on, the more it might happen. And also, there's about 15 to 20 seats where Reform could damage the Tories, which again, I'm not sure they're properly organised for. So if they suddenly call an election, Reform might end up fucking appointing a load of nutcases, you know, and get fucking nowhere.
Yeah, and also the other argument in favour of a May election is that Rishi and the gang want to avoid another summer of boats coming over the channel, which will be a really, really bad look for them. And they're thinking, well, if they come over the channel and Labour in power, it'd be a bad look for them.
Yes.
So, there are arguments for a May election.
The more I think about the Tories' arguments for not having an election and for staying in power, I can't think of one. Why would you even want to? I mean, of course they would prefer to stay in government, but they're so shit and useless. I mean, I don't want them to stay in government. And I think if Labour got in, I said this years ago, actually, it'd be much more fun to let Labour in and let them have a go to fuck everything up. I mean, hopefully not to completely fuck it up, but, you know, to fuck it up enough so that they never fucking get back in.
Look, you heard it here first or last, maybe. Labour will be a fucking unmitigated disaster.
Oh, of course they will.
And that is not to say that this current Tory shit show is not an unmitigated disaster. This is people say, so which party do you support? None of them, really.
No.
They're all cunts.
Well, I get all this all the time, you know. Oh, you're going to be out of a fucking job when Labour gets in. Why do you think that? Because actually, what's going to happen when Labour get in is we're going to have a fucking field day. Well, because they're going to be so shit that we'll be kicking them every fucking minute of every fucking day.
On Fleet Street, the Mirror always gets better readerships, get better circulation when the Tories are in charge, and the Tory papers always do better when Labour are in charge. So in terms of being the media, it's better to be pissing from the outside in against people that you don't support. It makes better copy.
Yeah, of course. And it's much easier to be up against a Tory government if you're a Labour paper, and it's much easier to be up against a Labour government if you're a Tory paper.
Yeah, we're going
to
have a fucking field day with Labour. When
I worked at the Express when fucking Blair was in, when we worked at the Express when the Tories were in, I mean, it was really difficult when they started fucking up because you couldn't fucking, you know, people didn't want to read the fucking stories.
By the way, you know, I don't want to criticise my colleagues on Fleet Street, but the fucking Express's slavish devotion to the Tories after that shit budget last week by Jeremy Cunt. did I call him Jeremy Cunt? Yeah. Why? Well, because he is a cunt. So after that, you know, when everybody in the country goes, was that it? What a load of crap. The Express goes, you know, it's time for liftoff with the Tory terrific budget. Fuck off.
Because that is the Tory line. They're still putting fucking ministers out who keep saying repeatedly, you know, We've turned the corner. You know, inflation's back down to 2%. You know, it's working. The plan is working. You go, do fuck off.
Do you know
what plan?
So also,
to drive the country into the fucking sea after 14 years of misrule. That's what you fucking do.
Rishi Sunak though is a fucking moron. He's sending out
smart man.
Hi guys.
Yeah.
No, he is sending out his two electoral
fucking cunt.
Fucking cunt. Anyway, he's sending out his two electoral secret weapons.
Yeah.
Boris Johnson in the red wall.
Yeah. And in the red corner.
Yeah, and in the rest of the country, get this, the least popular piece of fucking upper crust, privileged, useless shit, Lord Cunty Cameron. Unbelievable. Does he really think everyone's like, oh, it's David Cameron, I'll vote for him? Everybody fucking hates Cameron.
Right, exactly. And also, you know, everybody goes, oh, but he's very good at winning elections. I mean, Boris is good at winning elections, I'll give you that. But Cameron was not so good at winning elections, because it wasn't anything to do with fucking Cameron that they won any elections, was it?
Yeah. You know. So by the way, talking of Boris, by the way, he will not get him a single vote. They'll lose all the Red Wall seats.
Well, no.
Boris is good at relating to people, but he's lost his popularity. He blew it.
Yeah, but like Biden, right? The problem with Boris is that, you know, we've seen what he can do, and it wasn't very impressive, I'm afraid.
It wasn't.
He talks a good game, and he talked a very good game in 2019. Let's get Brexit done. Everybody went, yeah, fucking good idea. But then he didn't fucking do it, really.
Yeah. You know?
And okay, you can say COVID was a fucking problem, and yes, it was. Same goes for Biden. Biden was the fucking change candidate in the last election with Trump, right? But now he's been in for fucking 3 years. Everybody goes, hang on a minute, this guy's a fucking bozo. Can't even remember his own name, doesn't even know what fucking country he's in. Yeah. So he came out today and said, oh, inflation's down, we've got some of the best figures for inflation in America. And people go, sorry, you are in America. What are you meant to say the world? He said America.
They've got the best for inflation figures in America. You've got the only figures in America.
But,
so I watched this show last night on Channel 4, I think it was called The Decline of, or The Rise and Fall of Boris Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And they had all these interviews with Jacob Rees-Mogg, Matt Hancock, various politicians, people who knew him. It's quite good in a way. But also they had that, shall we say, eccentric lady, Jennifer Arcuri.
Oh, yes.
Who he was...
She's fucking insane.
Yeah. I was going to say, man.
Sorry.
Anyway,
eccentric is a good word.
Yeah. So I was trying to be nice to her. So she's interviewed at length, and she's talking about when...
I mean, he should be fucking hung out to dry for shagging her in the first place.
Well, quite. But then again... You know, most of his birds aren't exactly...
No, fucking, that's true.
...aren't exactly Miss World, are they? There's a nice sexy... Most of his birds aren't Miss World.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
You know, go, God, he's got so many women. He's such a good womanizer. Yeah, but he's yet to actually pull a good-looking one.
Yeah, right.
But then again, he's fucking hideous. Anyway, so she said that he's the mayor of London.
Right.
You remember that she got a big business grant.
Yes, right. So they all she got.
They had this relationship. He got quite a lot out of her too.
Right.
Anyway, she goes, oh yeah, he really did woo me hard. You know, he came on to me and he said, oh Jennifer, I really want to date you. I really want to go out with you. So she says, she's telling this story. And she says, well, okay, maybe, but you realise I'm a very high maintenance. Boris said, what, like handbags and shit? Was his answer
brilliant? Because that's why he's never got any money. He's obviously buying presents from all these fucking women all over the place. Some of these documentaries are great. I was told the other, I haven't watched it yet, but I was told there's one. The BBC have done some thing on unions and strikes and all sorts of things, and apparently they've done one on I guess it must have been on the postal strike or on something or other like that. But apparently they've got a clip of me nominating Mick Lynch for Plank of the Week, which is good. So I must send them a fucking bill for that.
Excellent. Yeah. By the way, the other person who was in this documentary was Jeremy Corbyn.
No, of course. It's just Channel 4. Anyway,
so he actually told quite a good story that he said, well, when Boris called that election that he was so spectacularly won,
2019.
You know, the tradition is you've got to call the leader of the opposition. So,
before you announce it?
Yeah, so he phones Corbyn and says, I'm calling an election. And Jeremy said, well, good, I'm going to beat you. And Boris said, you won't beat us. He said, it's full steam ahead with the Tories. He said, I'm going to have my hand on the oars and the tiller. And so Corbyn said, well, if you do that, you'll be going round and round in circles. And so Boris said, good point.
Yeah. Maybe he meant the horse and the tiller.
Yeah.
Let's take another short break because it's time for another word from our sponsors at Manscaped. Hey, Kevin. Top of the morning to you. This episode is brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shamrock Shavers at Manscaped, sponsoring this podcast. This year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders in Below the Kilt Care. Say goodbye to your clover forest with Manscaped, and it's the Lawnmower 5.0. Let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. And of course, all you've got to do is head over to manscaped.com and use the code POLICE for 20% off plus free shipping, because that's what you get if you're a listener to this podcast, The Thought Police, with me, Mike Graham, and Kevin O'Sullivan. Head over to manscaped.com, use the code POLICE for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, ever since I've used Manscaped, I can proudly say, and so can you, Kev, that I've found my pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and you can meet your lucky charm for this weekend's St. Patrick's Day, because it's the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a trimmer, it's a classic, right? It comes with two interchangeable next-generation skin-safe blade heads, one for a classic trim, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It's equipped with dual LED spotlights. Navigate your shamrock patch in peace. If you're worried you make a mess, fear not. This wonder is waterproof. Shave by the misty moors, under a waterfall, or even during a rain dance, or just in the shower. You know, don't get too carried away, or in the bath. Its compact case makes it an ideal companion, ready for any adventure or any last-minute plans. You can take it wherever you go. You can also trim the hedge in your Irish garden, not just below the belt, but on your face as well. Because, of course, you can get the Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. So whether you're sculpting your beard or cleaning up your neckline, that's also the right tool for the job. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code POLICE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code POLICE at manscaped.com. So this St. Patrick's Day, Kev, make sure your little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever. Manscaped.com. Don't miss it. Well, we've nearly come to the end of the fucking podcast already, unbelievably. What should we finish up with? What about those cunts from the air traffic control fucking business? Have you seen that story?
No, go on.
This is where... You remember last August bank holiday when the fucking system collapsed?
Oh, right.
Because
I think it was
Air France, or some French airline put in a flight plan that didn't compute, and literally the computers shut down. And so people were stranded, 750,000 passengers were stranded all over the world.
Yeah, I remember,
you know, they could only move aeroplanes 60 an hour instead of 400 an hour, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, guess what the problem was?
What?
The fucking engineer who had to fix it was working from home. And so he couldn't fix it remotely, so they had to wait for an hour and a half so that he could drive to the office to fix the problem. The fucking absolute joke of a country that we are and that we have now become. And all these fucking twats who say to me, oh, but people are much more efficient when they work from home.
That's a lie.
Not in the fucking air traffic control business, you fucking deluded cunts.
Also, it's a lie anyway. It's not true.
It's not true.
It does not increase productivity to have people at home watching Netflix. Whitehall is now empty because civil servants never go to work. And look at those departments.
Yeah.
They're absolutely
useless.
Fucking
fucked. They can't act. They can't do even a small part of their job.
And what is the point of our this is the problem. 13 years of Tory rule, which conceptually, philosophically, I'm right behind.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we, you know, we want proper Thatcherite.
Well, we would be behind them if they were proper
Tories.
That's
proper Thatcherite conservatism.
Yeah.
That would work. What we had? A succession of lily-livered, fucking mediocre non-Tories. You had fucking Cameron, May,
Truss.
And now Sunak, of course, Boris as well. Sunak. Anyway, all of them have just let the civil servants stop coming to work, as well as they've allowed the rise and rise of wokery. Under their auspices, this country has turned into a lazy shithole full of woke wankers spouting bollocks. And they go, oh, it's really worrying, you know, that so many young people since the furlough scheme, you know, they've just opted out of the economic system. They don't claim benefits.
They don't work.
They don't, you know, and then they go, oh, some of them to get benefits. just because they've got mental health problems, they've got physical problems. No. They may, of course, some of them genuinely have probably got problems, and therefore they deserve benefit. Most of them, lazy motherfucking cunts.
Right, because there's now 9 million plus who are economically inactive. Some of them are not working and have never worked. Some of them are students. But 9 million, right? Now add that to the size of the public sector, which is something like 7 million, nearly not far off 6 and a bit. You're basically talking about 16 million people who are all paid as a result of tax, which is collected from those of us who work in the private sector. So basically a third, I think, of the workforce, or maybe close to a half of the workforce, is being subsidised by us.
The benefit system is a fucking scandal.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get into the American way. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah, 6 months unemployment and then you get a job.
Yeah, and then if you don't work, you don't eat. Right. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Here, you don't want to work. Oh, you've got mental health problems. You've got a bad back. Oh, here's loads of money.
But people are
that Mike
doing
Graham
this.
And Kevin O'Sullivan can
but
fucking
pay. But it's like these other
for.
Wankers who want, I'd like to have children, but, you know, it's just there's no support.
Yeah.
Well, you're fucking supposed to support your own kids, you fucking numpty.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't fucking get money from the government for having children. Yeah. You should never have money from the government. You should make fucking money and then have children. Yeah. If you can't afford to have them, don't fucking have them.
Do I feel... Simple. And these lazy little bastards who won't go to work and demand benefits from...
Mind you, they're probably so useless if they did go to work, they'd fuck everything up even more.
That's true, but at least they could try. Why do I hate them? Because I have to pay for them at the rate of 45% tax.
Yes.
But those of us who do bother to work have to pay for these work-shy, lazy little shits.
Yeah.
And this fucking government, all of these Tories for 13 years, have done fuck all about it.
Wankers. That's the end of the talk, police. I think it's probably a good place to end. That's quite a good one, though. We'll see you next week, you fucking slags.
Yeah, fucking wankers. We'll be right back.